VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. We are going to be having a news roundup day today in that, Lord willing, tomorrow, in light of the debate to take place tonight, we'll give you opportunity to give your reaction to what unfolds at this evening's debate. So we do encourage you to join us for that tomorrow and where you can weigh in on the debate itself. But today there's been so much news that's been happening through the course of this week. We wanted to address it, bring it to your attention. As many of you are aware, by this time, the Senate Judiciary Committee did approve the nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court this morning. This, again, two votes happen. One is in the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is today. Monday is when the full U.S. Senate is to take this up. Democrats on the committee, well, guess what? They've boycotted the vote and their elected duties as well, but they could not prevent this nomination from going forward. Here is the Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham at that meeting this morning.
Motion to report the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. The clerk will call the roll. Favorably to the floor. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Grassley.
Aye.
Mr. Cornyn.
Aye.
Mr. Lee.
Aye.
Mr. Cruz.
Aye.
Mr. Sass.
Aye.
Mr. Hawley.
Aye.
Mr. Tillis.
Aye.
Ms. Ernst.
Aye.
Mr. Crapo.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Aye.
Mrs. Blackburn.
Aye.
Mrs. Feinstein. Mr. Leahy. Mr. Durbin, Mr. Whitehouse, Ms. Klobuchar, Mr. Coons, Mr. Blumenthal, Ms. Hirono, Mr. Booker, Ms. Harris, Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 12 yeas, 10 no votes.
12
the
yeas.
Nomination will be reported favorably to the floor. With a unanimous vote.
Yeah, indeed. It was unanimous this morning on the Senate Judiciary Committee, so that will now go to the full Senate, scheduled to vote this coming Monday. The phone number to contact your senators is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, or their direct numbers can be found at senate.gov. Well, the Human Rights Campaign President Alfonso David, not too happy about this. He said, make no mistake, Judge Amy Coney Barrett's appointment to the Supreme Court is a direct threat to LGBTQ equality. He said today's vote is an endorsement by the Republican members of the Judiciary Committee of Judge Barrett's prejudiced and deeply concerning allegiances and an abdication of the responsibility to protect the rights of all Americans. We implore the full Senate to reject her nomination. Well, what's interesting is this whole aspect of court packing has been regularly thrown at the Biden campaign because of his evading the question. And then with George Stephanopoulos last week, he indicated, well, he'll let people know where he stands before Election Day, even though he's admitted that there have been many, many people, millions of people already voting. But on a 60 Minutes interview to air this weekend, here is a clip that they're foreshadowing the course of this interview.
If elected, what I will do is I'll put together a national commission of bipartisan commission of scholars, constitutional scholars, Democrats, Republicans, liberal, conservative. And I will ask them to, over 180 days, come back to me with recommendations as to how to reform the court system, because it's getting out of whack, the way in which it's being handled. And it's not about court packing. There's a number of other things that our constitutional scholars have debated, and I'd look to see what recommendations that commission might make.
So you're telling us you're going to study this issue about whether to pack the court?
No, whether there's a number of alternatives that are go well beyond packing.
This is a live ball.
Oh, it is a live ball. No, it is a live ball. We're going to have to do that. And you're going to find there's a lot of conservative constitutional scholars are saying it as well. The last thing we need to do is turn the Supreme Court into just a political football. Whoever has the most votes gets whatever they want. presidents come and go. Supreme Court justices stay for generations.
My, how times have changed. Now listen again. I think we heard this Monday, but 1983, as he is chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he said,
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct, but it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make, and it put in question for an entire decade the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Americans for Limited Government President Rick Manning had this reaction, saying that Joe Biden's Supreme Court proposal is seeking to solve a problem that doesn't exist. The only reason Biden wants to change the Supreme Court is because he's unhappy with the philosophical makeup of the court. No matter how you shine it up, Biden's proposal is nothing more than an attempt to legitimize his court packing scheme. And you heard that first clip, so this is going to go well beyond court packing. It's well beyond that. Folks, what else is in store for these courts? Coming from Western Journal, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, along with other GOP senators, has introduced a constitutional amendment that, if it were to pass, would prevent court packing on the Supreme Court. The amendment proposal simply states that the Supreme Court of the United States shall be composed of 9 justices. The legislative proposals pushed by Cruz are supported by GOP Senators Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Kelly Loeffler of Georgia, Roger Wicker, and Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, and Martha McSally of Arizona. From CNSNews.com, a former business partner of Hunter Biden has issued a statement to the New York Post asserting that the Biden family, including Joe, Hunter, and Joe's brother James, aggressively leveraged the Biden family name to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled China. The statement from Toby Bobulinski was published overnight. He says he was one of the recipients of the May 13, 2017 email detailing an equity distribution, including this line, 10 held by H for the big guy. Well, H is for Hunter, and the big guy is Joe Biden, Bobulinski said. In a statement obtained by the New York Post, he says reports of Hunter and Joe's business dealings are not any form of domestic or foreign disinformation, he says. He knows this, he said, because I lived it. Coming from newsbusters.org, on Wednesday, NBC's Today Show, that's yesterday, managed to offer only 14 seconds of their two-hour broadcast to Joe Biden, finally answering a question about the corruption scandal swirling around Hunter. Of course, those seconds were focused exclusively on the Democratic nominee angrily trying to dismiss the story. We have correspondent Andrea Mitchell, who earlier in the week tried to falsely paint the Hunter Biden scandal as Russian disinformation, by the way, which has been disproved. She noted that the former vice president addressed the reports about his son Hunter Biden and claims he profited off the Biden name. Well, a clip of Biden wailing this, "It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all." CNSNews.com reporting National Public Radio announcing Thursday that it will not report on the Hunter Biden story because it doesn't want to waste listeners and readers' time on stories that are not really stories. Well, Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee reacted today, tweeting out defund NPR. Also from CNSNews.com, a reporter at today's news conference with Nancy Pelosi, barely got out 10 words out of their mouth when Pelosi, muffled behind her face mask, shut her down. Here's what happened.
Madam Speaker, these serious allegations of corruption involving Joe Biden have been raised in recent days.
I'm sorry, I'm not answering your questions, okay? We're talking about the coronavirus. That's what I don't have all day for questions. That's what we're taking now. Anybody have a question on the coronavirus negotiations? Yes, sir.
Okay, so they went on, but sorry, I'm not taking your question about Joe Biden here. Very interesting indeed. The New York Post alleges that it's being held hostage. Here's Western Journal reporting the Post said that Twitter has refused to unlock the Post account unless the news organization deletes six tweets about its own reporting on the Hunter Biden emails. The demand comes despite a change in policy that Twitter used to ban sharing the Post reporting about the contents of a computer hard drive that contained revelations about Hunter Biden, including an email that thanked Hunter Biden for arranging a meeting with his father, then Vice President Joe Biden. Newsmax reporting President Donald Trump Tuesday demanded that Attorney General William Barr open an investigation of former Vice President Joe Biden's son. And let's see, Daily Wire Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe confirmed yesterday evening that the Islamic Republic of Iran, the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, interfered in the U.S. election to damage President Donald Trump by sending threatening emails to Democrat voters while posing as a right-wing group. Okay, again, posing as a right-wing group, saying the U.S. government has concluded that Iran was behind a series of threatening emails arriving this week in the inboxes of Democratic voters. The Washington Post reported the emails claimed to be from the Proud Boys, a far-right group supportive of President Trump, but appeared instead to be a deceptive campaign making use of a vulnerability in the organization's online network. At a press conference, Ratcliffe said that the intelligence officials have discovered that Iran and Russia have obtained some voter registration information and that officials have already seen Iran sending spoofed emails designed to intimidate voters, incite social unrest, and to damage President Trump. Also, this coming from WND.com, those who apparently hate President Trump and his fans have mailed letters to residents in the New Hampshire region threatening to burn down their homes if President Trump does not concede the election. WMUR reports police in Milford are trying to track the source of the letters that were sent to supporters of President Donald Trump threatening to burn down their homes. The letters have said, "Dear neighbor, you've been identified by our group as being a Trump supporter. Your address has been added to our database as a target when we attack should Trump not concede the election." The letter then tells homeowners to check their home insurance for fire coverage. Milford police reported that the same letter was mailed to multiple homes where there are political signs endorsing the president, and they say the state attorney's general office has now gotten involved. Western Journal reporting a longtime election official has resigned from his post. What did he do? Well, after he and his wife apparently teamed up to swipe and vandalize Trump-Pence campaign signs in a South Carolina neighborhood. Folks, this is a longtime election official, Dean Smith, a 15-year member of Georgetown's County Elections Board and its chairman up until last week, resigned Wednesday after a deer camera set up in a yard appeared to capture an individual removing and defacing Trump campaign signs, according to GAB News. Smith offered his resignation within the first few minutes of the Georgetown County Board of Voter Registrations and Elections meeting that day. Before he was videotaped leaving the meeting, Smith read a prepared statement to the attendees acknowledging his actions were a, quote, "brief lapse in judgment on my part that might become a distraction to the conduct of this very important election. I therefore hereby resign from this board effective immediately." Ladies and gentlemen, a longtime election official caught taking signs and vandalizing them and swiping them, the Trump-Pence signs that were up in neighborhoods there in South Carolina. We'll be back in just a minute here. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about those huge flying reptiles?
Chris, some of the flying reptiles were as large as a mid-size aircraft. Some people have wondered how in the world they could have ever flown. As it turns out, they really couldn't fly in today's atmosphere. There's not enough air pressure to keep them up. Creationists have long supposed that the environment before the flood was quite different than now. We suspect that air pressure was quite a bit higher than now, making it more reasonable that these huge creatures could fly. Recently, an engineer built a model of one of these flying reptiles and tried to make it fly. He found that it had many wonderful adaptations to increase the flying ability, but there still wasn't enough air pressure to keep it aloft. To evolutionists, it's a big mystery, but to creationists, we at least have a plausible theory. And we get that by going back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, having a news roundup day today here on the broadcast. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll give you time to weigh in on tonight's debate. This from Newsbusters. One George Mason University media researcher watched a ton of late-night material from two major networks. Don't know how you could stomach that. And recorded exactly how many jokes were directed at President Trump versus how many were directed at former Vice President Joe Biden. The study found that Trump was mocked by network late-night comedians far more than the 2020 presidential opponent. According to Robert Lichter, a researcher at GMU's Center for Media and Public Affairs, Trump was 97% of Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert's mockery. Biden only got 3%. Western Journal reporting October during a presidential campaign year has developed a reputation for being riddled with surprises. One of this year's October surprises happens to be regarding Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and his sexual assault accuser, Tara Reid. Reid is a longtime Democrat, is planning to release a memoir on October 27th titled Left Out When the Truth Doesn't Fit In, which details her experience after publicly sharing her allegation against Biden, who has claimed sexually assaulted her while she worked for him in 1993. Biden was a senator at that time. A week ago, Mr. Biden released a video message to Muslim Advocates, the Association of Muslim Lawyers, saying, "As president, I'll work with you to rip the position of hate from our society, honor your contributions, and seek your ideas. My administration will look like America, Muslim Americans serving at every level." As we mentioned, tonight is the final presidential debate. And the Trump campaign asked the Commission on Presidential Debates Monday to rethink the topics for the final presidential debate, saying moderator Kristen Welker has chosen subjects beyond the intended subject of foreign policy. Campaign manager Bill Stipen told the commission in a letter that both campaigns had agreed that the final debate tonight would focus on international affairs. But he said Ms. Welker has announced herself announced instead that the debate in Nashville will cover COVID-19, families, race in America, climate change, national security, and leadership. Folks, these are the same issues that we heard brought up in debate number one. It is the same issues we heard brought up in the town hall meetings. It's supposed to be dealing with foreign policy issues, and according to this list revealed, it's going to be little having to do with foreign policy. I wonder if they're going to bring up the Hunter Biden issue. That'll be interesting to see if that happens or not. Well, the Commission on Presidential Debates also on Monday did announce that there's going to be a change for this final debate in that the microphones of the candidates will be muted periodically throughout the evening. We understand they're going to be having some six different segments, 15 minutes each, some 90 minutes for the debate. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes to provide their response to a question that is given by the moderator, and then their opponent's mic during that 2 minutes will be muted while the answer to prevent interruptions. Once the 2 minutes are over, microphones will be unmuted and an open exchange can take place, USA Today reported. Now, about the moderator herself. Very interesting because the moderator for tonight, Kristen Welker, back in January 14th, 2019, as President Trump was about to board Marine One, she was an NBC News White House correspondent at that time, and the moderator for tonight's debate asked what some of the Newsbusters says this was one of the most obnoxious questions ever asked of the president. Here's what the question was.
Mr. President, yes or no, have you or are you now, have you ever worked for Russia? Yes or no?
I never worked for Russia. And you know that answer better than anybody. I never worked for Russia. Not only did I never work for Russia, I think it's a disgrace that you even asked that question, because it's a whole big fat hoax.
Well, tonight you'll be moderating that debate. Let's see. Here is a story coming from activist mommy Elizabeth Johnston. In a demonstration of their abject lunacy and evil, a group of anti-Trump protesters performed a mock human sacrifice on the streets of Boston, culminating with one protester pretending to eat the bloody heart of the president. Several videos of the protest took place in the city's Copley Square, went viral on Twitter this week. In one of the videos, one protester describes the sickening event as a ritual to purge the nation. One protester poses as President Trump before his heart is symbolically ripped out. And at various parts in these protests and on the videos, you can hear the crowd chanting, "Praise to the chaos gods! Praise to the chaos gods!" Well, friends, last year, this is from CBN, last year at this time, President Donald Trump was battling the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry against him. And if that wasn't enough, media outlets reported thousands of witches were trying to cast a binding spell on him on Halloween. Well, now those practitioners of witchcraft, they're at it again, celebrating the rare confluence of two powerful moon events in 1 month, all in an effort to get Joe Biden elected and President Trump removed from office. Communicating via social media, the witches are plotting multiple binding events with their biggest attempt to spiritually attack the president on October 31st, right before the election. They've been using the hashtags #BindTrump and #MagicResistance, while calling for what they've called a blue wave spell on October 31st and on November 2nd. As CBN News has reported, witches have been regularly trying to cast spells against Trump since his inauguration in 2017. They even worked to hex his Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. In addition to this year's Halloween spell, one of the people using the Bind Trump Facebook page is also calling for magic to be performed against the president for his final debate scheduled for tonight with Democratic challenger Joe Biden. The Daily Signal reporting that the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the North Carolina State Board of Education on Tuesday, allowing for it to count absentee ballots that arrive before November 12th, as long as they're postmarked by November 3rd. All ballots must still be mailed on or before Election Day, said Circuit Judge James Wynn in the court's 12-3 ruling. The change is simply an extension from 3 to 9 days after Election Day for a timely ballot to be received and counted. That is all. Now, folks, just wonder how many of these ballots, we know not all mail is postmarked. How many of these ballots will not have any postmark that will be put in the mailbox well after Election Day that will not have postmarks on them and will have lawsuits saying, well, every vote should count. We need to count these ballots. The Trump campaign and the state Republican Party had sued over this extension, saying it violated North Carolina's election code. The decision was lauded as a victory by Democrats in the state. That from the Daily Signal, townhall.com. Reporting an official ballot collecting box in Baldwin Park, California, set on fire Sunday evening, destroying the ballots that had already been dropped inside. Authorities at that time did not confirm the number of ballots that were contained within the box when the fire began, though preliminary estimates have been upwards of 100 ballots. Although officials have not yet named a suspect in the incident, they're investigating the matter as arson. What is going to happen with those votes that were set aflame? Coming to us from Daily Wire, former Vice President Joe Biden's tax plan has raised more than just the eyebrows of a rapper. Now Home Depot co-founder Ken Langone has denounced the plan for potentially putting the middle class in peril. Speaking on Mornings with Maria, Langone argued that the middle class will suffer greatly and that taxing the rich will not generate the government's desired revenues. The only way a tax increase will generate revenues is to go after the middle class. That's where the numbers are, he said. These people are being misled. End of quote. LifeNews.com. President Donald Trump's administration continued to push back against global abortion advocacy this week with a declaration proclaiming that the preservation of human life and the strengthening of family are foundational to society. The Independent reports that the United States leaders joined five other countries in signing the Geneva Consensus document yesterday. The action sent a statement to the UN that the killing of unborn babies and abortions is not a human right, as the UN Declaration of Human Rights claims, according to the report. The Geneva Consensus states that countries should work to achieve better health for women, the preservation of human life, and the strengthening of family as a foundational unit of society. The other countries that signed the declaration with the U.S. were Brazil, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, and Uganda, the report states. However, LifeNews.com also reporting Joe Biden will sign an executive order day one, making Americans fund Planned Parenthood. During the spring, Biden confirmed that one of his first acts as president would be sticking taxpayer dollars behind the global abortion agenda, said he would fund the promotion and performance of abortions overseas, saying, quote, "I strongly oppose the limitations on the ability for the United States to contribute to organizations in these countries that in fact provide women's health alternatives for choice," Biden said. "We should end that limitation. It's called the Mexico City rule. We should end that," Biden said. Well, it's also interesting when it comes to abortion and appointing federal judges who have the power to determine the direction of abortion legislation. Biden made it clear during a Democrat debate that he would not compromise as president. "It's a woman's right to do that, period," Biden said. "And if you call that a litmus test, it's a litmus test." He then went further, saying that if the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe v. Wade, he would push for a national law allowing abortions up to birth. "If they ruled it to be unconstitutional, I will send to the United States Congress and it will pass, I believe, a bill that legislates Roe v. Wade adjusted by Casey." End of quote from Joseph Biden. From ChristianNews.net, residents in Louisiana will be voting next month on a ballot initiative that asks whether or not the state constitution should be amended to include a sentence declaring that there is no right to abortion in the state. It's Amendment 1. It's known as the No Right to Abortion in the Constitution Amendment. And it reads this: "To protect human life, nothing in this constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion." It declares that asking the voter, "Do you support an amendment declaring that to protect human life, a right to abortion and the funding of abortion should not be found in the Louisiana Constitution?" They will be able to answer yes or no. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that the student government at the University of Northern Iowa has rejected the request for approval of a UNI Students for Life group. The rejection came after a long and charged discussion in which the members attacked the views of fellow pro-life students, including calling them a hate group. And this week, the public university student body Supreme Court joined in that effort to block the pro-life group. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that their L.A. police chief, Michael Moore, predicted Tuesday that the city will see more than 300 homicides this year, a level not reached in L.A. in more than a decade. Moore said that there have been more than 266 homicides in the city as of Saturday, representing a nearly 25% increase over the same period last year and surpassing the total number of homicides in all of 2019. Well, you have to go to the end of the story to see this. In addition to homicides, non-fatal shootings are also up. Number of victims who have been shot in the day in the city as of October 10th was up more than 21%. The increase in violence comes as the LAPD works to reorganize after a $150 million budget cut forced it to begin reducing its ranks of sworn officers by several hundred. It's not just in L.A. Here's CBS 4 out of Minnesota, WCCO. 8 North Minneapolis residents are suing the city of Minneapolis for lack of police protection. For several months, people who live in the Jordan neighborhood in northern Minneapolis have been asking for more police protection. Every single night on any block in this neighborhood, you can hear gunshots, they said. They blame the Minneapolis City Council's talk of defunding police for the rise in violence. Residents say they support police reform, but they need protection from the criminal element invading the city. We'll be back in just one more minute here on Crosstalk, a news roundup day, and we're going to head to the New York Police Department next. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. News Roundup Day here today. Again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be giving you opportunity to give reaction to the debate taking place this evening. And we're talking about the police, the shortage, the rise in crimes. I saw in our own Milwaukee Journal Sentinel paper as well, talking about how homicides are scheduled to surpass all during this year as well, breaking some records here. Here we have New York. This is from the Daily Signal. New York City Police Department, the largest law enforcement force in the nation, has seen a nearly 90% rise in retirements so far in 2020. Around 2,400 officers filed for retirement as of October 6, compared to 1,300 during the same time frame in 2019. That's an 87% increase, an NYPD spokesman told Fox. Also, let's go back to Western Journal and Los Angeles. Los Angeles City Council has unanimously voted to create a pilot program to send unarmed response teams to nonviolent calls, which are currently handled by the city's police department. The decision to explore keeping police officers away from some calls was made and hailed by the council's president, Nuri Martinez, according to KTTV. Martinez said the decision in a media release today marks a seminal moment in our city's history and our efforts to reimagine public safety. There's going to be a lot of reimagination going on. A lot comes to the imagination when you look at those types of situations in which LA's Democratic legislative body has deemed no longer essential for police handlers. These will include calls related to mental health, substance abuse, and people making suicidal threats. FaithWire.com tells us that Carl Menke, he's the 77-year-old Michigan barber who became a household name earlier this year when he defied Governor Gretchen Whitmer's strict lockdown orders. Well, he's been vindicated, according to his lawyer. David Coleman, the attorney representing him, said our client's thrilled and pleased that he's been vindicated. Following the state Supreme Court's ruling knocking down Whitmer's unconstitutional executive orders amid the coronavirus pandemic, Shawnee County Prosecutor Scott Corner dropped the charges against Mankey. From WND.com, up to 45% of the deaths attributed to COVID-19 in Florida have been wrongly classified, according to a researcher who's analyzed a report by the state House of Representatives. Dr. Andrew Bostom noted that lawmakers found that nearly 60%, that's 8,058 of 13,920 deaths classified by the Department of Health as due to COVID-19, had errors or were recorded in a manner inconsistent with state and national guidance. The Florida legislators further concluded that about 10% were completely misclassified as COVID deaths, but Boston offered evidence to support his claim that 10% is far too conservative. Let's go to Breitbart. They report Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden is back to calling for a nationwide mask mandate, despite previously admitting that the Constitution would prevent him from enforcing it. Speaking on WISN ABC on Tuesday, that's in Milwaukee, Biden criticized President Donald Trump's response to the Chinese coronavirus. He said, I put my plan out in March. You can read it all online. Go to joebiden.com, and it starts with a mask mandate nationwide, he told the outlet. He has continually flip-flopped, this report says, on promoting a nationwide mask mandate as a federal response to the Chinese coronavirus, calling for a nationwide mask mandate. However, in September, he proclaimed himself as a constitutionalist and added, you can't do things the Constitution doesn't allow you the power to do. Days later, he told CBS 5 in Arizona that there's a constitutional issue whether the federal government can issue such a mandate. Days later at CNN Town Hall, Biden concluded that he would have the authority to implement a mask mandate and enforce it on federal land, but said, "I cannot mandate people wearing masks. I'd call every governor in the country into the White House, say you should be putting mandates out." Despite that, in an October 7th tweet, Biden declared that he would, as president, implement nationwide mask mandates. Where he stands, I guess you'll have to decide. As we look here also at LifeNews.com, Janice Dean leading the call for accountability from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo after his order requiring nursing homes to take COVID-19 patients exposed elderly, vulnerable people to the virus. Dean is a senior meteorologist at Fox News and New York Times bestselling author, said both of her in-laws died from the coronavirus in March in assisted living and nursing home facilities in New York. She believes that Cuomo's order led to her in-laws and other loved ones' deaths, and she wants an investigation, the Federalist is reporting. Oh, you'll love this. You'll love this. This is from CBN. California officials trying to police family celebrations during the upcoming Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. The state's strict new coronavirus rules have now been issued for holiday gatherings, and here are a few of the shocking highlights. The requirements for attending a gathering include this. No more than three households can assemble at a time. The host should collect the names and contact information of all attendees. All gatherings must be outdoors, with guests limiting their time indoors. Seating should be at least 6 feet apart in all directions between members of different households. Face coverings are mandatory unless eating or drinking, but must be put back on afterward. Gatherings should be 2 hours or less. What happens at 2 hours and 1 minute? Does something else happen? Does the coronavirus gain strength? Some of the guidelines about families making noise are especially noteworthy. They warn against singing, chanting, shouting, and physical exertion because those activities can increase the risk of COVID-19 transmission through the air. The document states, quote, because of this, singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged, but if they occur, the following rules and recommendations apply. All people who are singing or chanting should wear a face covering at all times while singing or chanting, including anyone who is leading a song or chant. People who are singing or chanting are strongly encouraged to do so quietly at or below the volume of a normal speaking voice. Instrumental music is allowed. Well, the story goes on, but yeah, whisper singing. You can do whisper singing with your mask on. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel issued this press release Wednesday. A federal district court judge issued a 44-page decision granting an injunction in favor of two churches against Governor Jared Polis's discriminatory COVID rules, that place numerical restrictions on houses of worship and require masks. The order in Denver Bible Church versus Azar prevents the state of Colorado from enforcing the indoor occupancy limitations and the face covering requirement on the churches. LifeSiteNews.com, many commentators warned that there would be an increase in deaths due to suicide and drug use because of the coronavirus lockdown measures. One place where this prediction has dramatically come to pass is Franklin County, Ohio, which has seen a massive increase in deaths caused by drug overdoses. The coroner told ABC6 that the number of overdose deaths in the first 6 months of 2020 have surpassed the previous year's number of overdose deaths for the same period. Dr. Margaret Williams, physician at Ohio State University, wrote in July that the unintended consequences of social distancing during the COVID-19 outbreak may be behind these overdose increases. Like Ortiz, she mentions unemployment and isolation as triggers for addiction, noting that young adults are most affected, with death rates doubling over the last year. Friends, we've got more stories, but I'd like to open phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, maybe you've got a thought about the matters going on tonight. Maybe that is the debate, the Hunter Biden issue, the vote that took place in the Senate Judiciary Committee today of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Let's see. This is coming to us from CBN. Religious persecution by China's Communist Party has intensified as government officials are pressuring Christians to follow specific rules and regulations or face the consequences. Now, businesses are banned from publishing religious materials not approved by the government, according to Bitter Winter. Those who violate the strict orders face punishment. And also one other story here for China. An elite amphibious assault unit of China's People's Liberation Army has been told to prepare for war by the country's highest official. The order comes as decades of tension between the People's Republic of China and the Republic of China, that's Taiwan, could be nearing a violent conclusion. Chinese President Xi Jinping made the comments last week as he inspected troops at a base in China, according to a release from the country's Ministry of National Defense, telling his Marines to prepare for war. And knowing that elections have consequences, friends, have you kept track of what's happening in New Zealand? The New Zealand elections that took place. Matter of fact, the New Zealand overtook the UK for the most rainbow parliament ever. The New Zealand holds the title of the most rainbow parliament for the election of LGBT members and queer members. They include in this article as well from the New Zealand Herald. The overall rainbow representation will be 10%, bypassing the UK, which holds the current title of the most rainbow parliament with a 7% representation. We understand now from listeners to Crosstalk in New Zealand that they also now have a couple of Muslims that have gained seats, one of them of whom is said to be communistic, and saying we are now looking at the criminalization of Christianity. Friends, troubling issues. Be praying for believers in New Zealand. Let's go to the phone lines here today, and let's begin with David in Pewaukee. David, your comment today.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys that you're one of the few voices crying out in the wilderness and getting this information out. It's just a shame. I look at this, and I just think the evil one must just be laughing at the how just what a bunch of wimps the church is. I mean, we keep buckling, and the more we buckle, the more they come in with more restraints. I mean, this idea of restrictions for Christmas, sitting outside. Yeah, I'm going to sit outside in a snowbank for Christmas with my family, and I'm supposed to keep my voice down. The scriptures say, shout to the Lord, sing to the Lord, make noise with loud clashing cymbals.
Yeah.
I say the church needs to basically revolt against these, not in a violent way, but simply take a stand. We will meet where we want to meet. We won't wear masks. We don't want to wear masks. And we will sing at the top of our lungs. And if you want to kill us for doing it, we'll die, but we will not bend. And that's the place that the church needs to get to. And I'm just amazed at how cowardly people are, even leaders in churches are bowing the knee to this. And it's like, we need to stop bowing the knee to Caesar. The evil one is having a heyday with the church. And it's like he's right in our face saying, this is what we're going to do next. This is what you're going to do next. And it's like, I say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of our churches. You want separation of church and state? So do we. Stay out of our churches.
David, thank you for the comment today. Appreciate your call. Jeff is next in Superior, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking as a Catholic, a very proud graduate from Notre Dame. I couldn't be more happy and proud of Amy Coney Barrett passing out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, going to be voted on the United States Senate next week. I think she's a very devoted woman, her strong integrity, very intelligent. I admire her character, and I think Mary, the mother of Jesus, is very proud of people like her devoting her life to this cause.
Jeff, thank you for your comments here today. And certainly what we do in this life ought to be to please God, to please Jesus Christ with our lives. And let me just say this, that the Senate is going to be voting. They plan to. They've announced for this Monday. You can reach your senator at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Keep in mind, just yesterday, the Pope announced his blessing on civil unions of same-sex civil unions. Troubling indeed. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We hear a lot of talk today by the media and other folks shaming Christians that actually understand what's going on. One of the things we hear a lot is, oh, that's a conspiracy theory.
Well, one of the things we talk about when we are accused of such is that there are a group of people that are plotting to control how we think, what we see, how we vote, and the destruction of national sovereignty. We sometimes refer to them as a shadow government or the deep state. The more accurate term might be the power elite. In fact, there was a book written many years ago by a political sociologist by the name of C. Wright Williams. It was called The Power Elite. Well, before you think this is all conspiracy theory, in December of 2018, the Washington Post had an entire article entitled Why the Power Elite Continues to Dominate American Politics. They affirmed the deep state, i.e. the power elite.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, MasterCard, some changes coming. The Financial Services Corporation, this is from ChristianNews.net. MasterCard has rolled out a so-called true name feature that allows those who identify as transgender or non-binary to use their chosen name on their debit and credit cards in order to avoid being detected as such when making a purchase. For many in the LGBTQIA+ community, the name of their credit, debit, or prepaid card does not reflect their true identity, the corporation's website states. That's why we're working with partners to bring products to market that will allow for chosen names to appear on the front of cards, helping ease a major pain point for the transgender and non-binary communities. That from MasterCard. Let's go to Chris calling from Oshkosh. Chris, you're on the air.
Yes. Is there a chance, our president got impeached for a phone call, over a phone call. Is there a chance Slow Joe and his shenanigans with Hunter and Ukraine and China, all that, can he be impeached after he takes office if he would win?
If he would win and if he takes office, yes, the answer to your question is yes, if articles of impeachment are drawn up in the House of Representatives. But if that House is controlled by his own party, don't expect those articles to be drafted.
And even if he was impeached, then Kamala would be president, correct?
If he were removed from office, because that's then the vote would go over to the Senate for removal from office. And if that vote would declare that, then Kamala Harris would be president. That's correct.
So if I'm understanding what you just said, then the votes aren't there to impeach him if he becomes president?
The articles have to be drafted by the House, and then so the House does the impeaching, but the removal of office would happen over in the U.S. Senate. So it's going to depend what the makeup is of the House. What is the makeup of the Senate?
After Election Day, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your time, and thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you, Chris. Anonymous caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi. Yes, I wanted to say I've been going to the Catholic Church. I was Lutheran through marriage for over 40-some years. And on the way out, I stopped the priest and I asked why they pray for everything and everyone, military, everyone. Why won't they ever pray for the president? And he was so upset. He said, most of the Catholics don't know. The Pope backs Biden and the Democratic Party.
That's what he told you?
Yes. Hmm. Yes. And it was a bombshell to me. Just unbelievable.
Oh.
So I wanted to say that, be careful, because these precious people do not know what the Pope is backing.
Yeah, and thank you for your call here today. And I would like to refer you to programs we've done with Mike Gendron on such topics. But, look what Scripture says. Let's go to the authority of God's Word. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So that's just one point there. But we also have to recognize that there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So many issues there, but shocking that you would be told that. Let's go to Wausau. Trevor, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm kind of frustrated with this whole Amy Coney Barrett thing. Like, I'm glad that she's a conservative and a constitutionalist, but since when did Catholicism become a staple post or the spokesperson for Christianity? Jesus is our high priest. We only he only has the power to forgive sins because he's God.
Right.
And Mary has nothing to do with it. So I, under God, we don't pray the rosary. We don't pray to Mary. And quite frankly, we're all the Baptists that are in office. It's always Catholic this, Catholic that, and they're not spokesperson
well,
for Christianity. They don't believe in Jesus Christ.
Trevor, there's not to be a litmus test for anyone going into office, and she was drilled on this when she went into the Circuit Court of Appeals regarding her religious faith, but one's faith is not to be the litmus test for taking the position of a judge.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying, like, everyone who's in office, it seems like they're Catholic. They always say, oh, I'm Catholic. We're the Baptists, you know, we're just the regular Christians that actually count on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
And Trevor, there are a number of Baptists that are in office here, too. And certainly we can't go down the rundown, both in the state legislature and Congress itself, but they are there, and some are raising their voices on issues. But regardless, we need to be praying for them and perhaps be motivated as well to run for office. Is that something you've considered doing?
No.
Oh, okay. Thanks so much for your call. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, if the Harris-Biden ticket would happen to win the election, make no doubt about it, the Obamanistas would be running the country again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comment here today on Crosstalk at number 800-733-9829. By the way, we didn't get to report this earlier with Matt Staver, but there was a victory last week. Last week, a federal court judge ruled that a New York-based Christian adoption agency cannot be forced to close due to its policy of only placing children with married heterosexual couples. This is U.S. District Court Judge May D'Agostino issued this preliminary injunction against the New York Office of Children and Family Services enforcement of its discriminatory policy. That took place just last week. And then also in a recent decision as well from ChristianNews.net, a federal judge in California has dismissed a lawsuit against Fuller Theological Seminary, which had been sued by two students for allegedly violating Title IX of the federal education amendments as they were let go after they were found to be in so-called same-sex marriages. She found that the educational institution is entitled to an exemption of federal civil rights law because it is a religious organization. Keep in mind that if you have passages of such things as the so-called Equality Act, there's going to be a whole new interpretation that's going to be given to things just like this. Well, that's all the time we have for our program today. We thank you for tuning in to Crosstalk and the VCY American Network as we bring you these stories. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be giving you opportunity to respond to the issues coming forth in the debate this evening. But we do encourage you to be praying for this nation, be praying for the election coming up on November 3rd. And friends, that as you become informed on the issues and matters and the individuals on your ballot, that you pray, seek God's face and seek His wisdom, and that you would be informed and cast a prayerful vote Tuesday, November 3rd. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.